We are the latest generation of hackers. We grew up playing video games. We were the ones who looked for all the hidden items and figured out cheat codes. We saw what computers could do and thought, I think we can do more. We heard of hackers from the mass media and thought, I want to know exactly how to do what they do. Even as these hackers were made out to be criminals, we still wanted to learn. We eventually found out that hacking is not evil, which settled better with our morals. We're here to share and educate. We are BaseNet Radio.
Hello world, this is Slicko, your host. With me today for episode 7 of BaseNet Radio is Silent Slade and Morbid.
Hey.
Yo.
We have a few sections to this show. News, email, if any, and distro of the week. While the sections we have could easily fill a show, we are always interested in ideas for other sections. If you have an idea, send it over to basenet@slickzero.net. Any reproduction or retransmission of this material is encouraged. That's why this MP3 is available. For download at our website, basenet.slickzero.net. Of course, that's slick zero, spelt the word slick and the number zero. And it is time for our first section. That begins the news section of BaseNet Radio. In this section, we will be discussing news from this past week in the tech and computer industries, as well as any other news we find relevant to the general idea of hacking. Much of this we get from well-known sources like Slashdot, but we try to vary our sources. And this first story that we have for you today is about the huge security hole in most web browsers.
Oh, man.
I say most web browsers because there is one very special browser that, with its default settings, it does not affect.
Let's give you a couple seconds to make a guess. Everyone thinking they know?
Launch the Jeopardy music.
That's actually that's a stream, but
close enough.
Yes, the one that it doesn't affect is Internet Explorer.
That's amazing.
Would not have guessed that unless I heard it earlier.
Well,
wow,
it was on Slashdot, so you probably have heard that earlier. Anybody listening, and then you probably already know that the bug is with IDN, and that I say with default settings because IE doesn't enable IDN by default.
You have to do it yourself.
Yep. But most other browsers do. It's pretty much an internet standard now.
But don't feel bad.
Now,
I mean, you have plenty of other bugs in Microsoft products to make up for it.
Oh, right. So. Anyway, you gotta figure... What is this bug about? If you haven't heard about it, what is this bug about? It is it spoofs the domain name that appears up in the top where you type in your address, the URL.
Right.
It displays it like right now. I clicked on the website to give you an example is www.shmoo.com/idn. That's shmoo.com, and there's a little link there. You'll see it's a very simple page. Has this works in everything except IE, ha. Huh? Then it says click here to enter PayPal. Click here to enter PayPal via SSL. And it also has the IDN advisory posted right beneath it as text file. So I click here to enter PayPal, and I just see a simple page that says meow, two E's, like that matters. And in the URL that's displayed is http://www.paypal.com.
But
if you look very closely at the two A's in PayPal, I mean, this may depend on your fonts, but at least in my browser, the two A's have slight differences. Like, the one looks kind of like a courier A, while the other one looks like the Arial type of A.
Pretty much everything but the first A is set up the same font. It looks like the second A is using a different character, probably using another language.
The first A is like a font size smaller, it seems.
Right, it's a font size smaller. It's probably for another language than easy.
For you, it seems the font size smaller for mine. My second A looks smaller.
Your second A looks smaller?
My second A looks smaller.
Which I have no fonts installed. I get pboxypal.com. Which is great. Which it means my browser has no problem. I'll know when there's a fucking issue.
Because you don't have the UTF font.
Right, I don't have
or
it.
Or whatever it needs.
I have a huge problem. So, yes, I won't be caught off guard by poopal.com or whatever the fuck they try to spoof me to. And another cool thing about it is, if you really want to know, you know, who's the fucker behind, you know, redirecting you when you notice that your A is smaller, you can...
At least in Firefox.
You can view the page source. And, you know, besides the HTML meow, whatever, you should see on top the actual page where it got spoofed from. And http://xn-pypal.4live.com or something like that.
PyPal?
It's
what kind of food page is that?
It's PyPal. I don't know. It must have been registered in order to fool around. But it's really cool, the fact that, you know, you can fix the security hole by just not having the fonts working.
Yeah, you fix one hole, create another. What is this, Microsoft's world? Oh, well, IE is working in this case, so it must be.
I just installed Firefox and I had, you know, really no problems. And speaking of... Speaking of issues with Microsoft and Firefox, I was just, you know, browsing around for news as I always do. And I came across this really cool site that shows me something that Firefox is needing... And I was kind of actually, like, upset that Firefox didn't have. It's a plugin for Firefox, or for Mozilla, Opera, Netscape, any of those other alternative browsers, that would give you ActiveX controls.
Oh, I could probably
interesting.
That.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so, now, you know those certain websites force you to have ActiveX installed in order for you to actually be able to access content?
Yeah.
By having the browser plugin installed on Firefox, and you can actually just go to this website here. It's iol.ie, and there's a section for Mozilla plugins there. You can just search through the site. You install, you save the file, you open up, let's say you have Firefox, you open up your local directory, go to it, it'll install it like a plugin, restart Firefox, bang, you're in. You have pretty much ActiveX controls, and you can control them, turn them on and off whenever you need them. So you don't have to have ActiveX on. You don't have to worry about
that's good
stupid things going on, but you still have access to ActiveX.
That's good. I wish the Flash plugin had that.
Yeah, that would be nice.
There are some sites where you need Flash to visit it, but most of the time you
ads.
Don't want. Yeah, most of the time you don't want Flash.
Flash used to be so cool until advertising took advantage of it, and now it's annoying. I don't like Santa Claus flying across my screen.
The free iPod Mini if you shoot the duck.
Oh. But those aren't so bad. It's the ones that take over your screen and try to do all this magic action left and right, and then you have to find the X hidden within the invisible frames there.
While it's moving.
Yeah, while it's moving. Like, it's trying to fly across your screen, and you're supposed to catch up with it to kill it. That's retarded. So Flash should definitely have that.
Shall I show you my new toy now?
Uh-oh, I'm scared. Ow!
It's a tone dialer.
Where'd that come
from? But it's an interesting tone dialer, because, it's actually just a dual tone generator. Mm-hmm. And it has A, B, C, D on there by default.
Interesting.
Which is quite interesting. And let's see. I got this from a friend of mine, and this was actually, it does not have a speaker on it. It has a direct line out.
Okay.
It's like just a mini plug. And yeah, as I said, A, B, C, D. What not? Maybe I should lower that a bit just to make it sound a little nicer.
That's
still
cool.
Not good, but whatever.
It's kind of cool, though.
And it has a little broken button that I'm actually fussing with to try to hold down as the power button, so unless you're holding that button down, it won't dial anything.
Hmm.
What this was used for was for, cable companies would plug this into some of their equipment,
mm-hmm.
and there's, I don't know if you know this, there's commercial tones between when, like, a program ends and program finishes, and also if you've ever seen commercial insertion before, that's when they put a commercial in the middle of like a bunch of different commercials. It's a service that like people would pay your cable company to display their ads on multiple channels throughout their area.
Right.
I've
seen that.
Yeah, that's done with those tones. I'm not sure if it would be
like a C or something would designate a commercial insertion. A would be like the beginning of commercial, like, or B would be the end of the commercial.
Well, I know maybe in the late 80s, or if like I have like old videos that were taped from back then. Mm-hmm. You and on certain cable channels, you would hear it, the actual tones like real quick, and that would signify that that's when the show is ended and the commercials begin.
Interesting.
And whatnot.
Hmm. I mean, I gotta get some of those old VHS tapes from the 80s that we recorded TV shows on. Take a look at that again.
It's just a cool toy. I thought I should show you.
It's like a piece of history right there.
Yeah, it kind of is. And what I was thinking of doing, I mean, it would be illegal if I hook up a 555 timer, Schmidt trigger, and, you know, just a simple counting chip on there. And, you know, replace the crystal and just, like...
Turn it into a red box.
Hit the star key for a red box. Yeah. Anyway. It's only somewhat illegal. I'm not going to do that. I'd rather play around with ABCD, hook a little speaker onto it, and replace the switch.
Yeah, definitely. That switch needs to be replaced because it's not working. But other than that, it's a cool little toy, something to fool around with. It's nice finding old tech, you know, lying around in certain places that you can play with, because a lot of people neglect it. They don't think it's worth anything anymore. When in actuality, with just a little modification...
It's just a fun little toy.
Yeah, with modification, you can turn it into a really, like, dangerous little toy. Anyway. That seems to be my, like, my keyword. That's what I say, like, all the time.
Toy.
Anyway.
Oh, okay. Toy?
Toy.
Toy.
I wouldn't want toy as my keyword.
My keyword is toy? That's horrid. What's yours?
Okay, what do I do now?
Alright, what do we got here? Yeah, click on the
11.
Morb is installing. It's like Mozilla something.
Yeah, the ActiveX thing. My extensions don't seem to want to be working.
Okay. Now it's going to ask
it's going to install. Yeah, let's see if it works this time. Install. No, it still failed.
You're not having luck with plugins on that
box. No, I'm not.
That box don't work right.
I'll have to try the 10. Maybe the 11 don't like me.
Huh, give it a shot.
Yeah, maybe you should spend like $500 on a better box that's like five times better than that. That's it may be possible to.
In about a week.
Yeah, cool thing. This is like awesome for people like me who are Poe. Poor.
They can't afford DR.
Yes, exactly. This is what's going on. Never thought anything positive would actually come out of Walmart. But, a story from Tom's Hardware reports that Walmart apparently will offer a Linear-equipped notebook below the $500 mark. Manufacturer Linear said that it will bring a Linux-based device to the retailer within the next few days. This was posted on the 4th of February. Specs include an AMD Athlon 1800 Plus, a 40GB hard drive, 128MB of memory, a CD-ROM drive, an Ethernet port, and the firm's Linear OS, as well as OpenOffice. Now, you had some comments about that. Add.
The cool thing is you can upgrade it with an extra $100 or so. You can get, like, the whole 256 megabytes of RAM.
Yay!
And, like, what, a DVD drive, too? So it's a portable DVD player now?
Also comes with built-in wireless.
Built-in wireless.
At least the old ones. I'm assuming the new ones will. Because the old ones that they replace in do.
Yeah, and also, supposedly it's going to have a 10 gig of...
40 gig.
No, what is it? A 1 gig per second?
Oh, the 1100... Like, the...
1,000.
The 1,100.
Land card. That's kind of cool. I know Walmart currently offers $550 laptops that suck. So, I mean, if you can get a new one for under $500 with, like, you know, maybe not without the DVD drive, but with all the other cool functions, you have a pretty good
I wonder if it's just be CDR or if it's just a normal CD.
Probably normal CD. We're talking budget here.
Well, yeah, that's still fine, but... this.
You want to burn, damn it.
Burn. I wonder if it's a combo DVD, CDR, probably just DVD.
It's probably just
DVD
only.
Yeah. Well, that's still something that would be a definite improvement over my com crap.
Yes, definitely. Com cracks suck.
Yes.
Let's see.
How old is that thing?
This,
don't even know the year.
Well, let's think. It was acquired when we were a certain grade in a certain school. It was acquired...
Acquired?
When in our 11th year of education... so it's probably a year older than that.
It was probably a couple years, actually.
So, 8 years old?
Wow.
Yeah, it's old. It's a 300 megahertz Pentium 2.
Seven, 8 years old.
Yeah.
And these pretty much are, like, couple of years apart. These two.
And because you used the word acquired, I'll maybe we should not go into how it was. But
it fell off a truck. Didn't
I bought it.
It.
No. You. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
I bought it. Oh, this is cool. Sell person. Okay.
No, just to let everybody know, this laptop was acquired legitly.
Yes. Somewhat. I just like sounding shady. It's just one of the things I enjoy doing, kind of weird people out.
Okay, let's see what else.
Okay, this had another thing I talked. The cell processor.
Oh, the cell processor. The one for the...
That's being put out by IBM.
I think it's not just one company. I think people
work IBM, Sony, and Toshiba unveiled more details about their much-anticipated cell processor that is said to crush the performance of current AMD and Intel processors. The chip likely will debut in the PlayStation 3 and top clock speeds of 4 GHz. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's going to have, like, the new chips, the new IBM and AMD chips, I mean Intel and AMD chips, are going to have the dual core.
Yeah.
They're going to have dual core. This is supposed
heard
to have...
stories on that.
This is supposed to have, I think you said, at least 4.
At least?
That's,
wow.
That's,
at least.
That's a key word. Let me find that
jumping
one.
In, see, jumping ahead of the game.
This is a completely different site than I looked at it last time.
It's supposed to be, chip provides more than 10 times better performance than handling and entertainment and rich media applications than current PC processors can.
Interesting.
Comparing to both Intel and AMD. Wow, that's pretty sick.
Wait, how much time more?
10 times more.
That's kind of spiffy, but it's, yeah, they definitely say it's not really, like, useful yet.
It's not a general purpose.
Because there's no apps for it yet.
Yeah, that's the thing. If this is going to become the mainstream and start to be used for, you know, home PCs,
mm-hmm,
it's going to need the backing of a big company.
Yeah.
To start getting apps.
But right now, if, like they say, the PS3... And then if they're doing it for gaming,
I mean, awesome,
that's definitely
a
yeah, it's going to be amazing.
I feel bad for Microsoft's Xbox.
Xbox 2 is going to bump is going to get something better than it.
It's going to have to try.
They will. They did it last time.
Yeah.
They purposely,
you got to remember,
they purposely gave lower specs than their what they were going to
actually
release,
cuz they know Nintendo's strategy. I mean, you got to see from the time, like, Atari was the big thing. Nintendo's strategy was to wait until somebody else releases their stuff and release their better one.
Right.
And that's... They've had a lot of...
Sega got raped in the last few.
Yeah, like, well, Nintendo was ruled a monopoly at one point, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, they had licensing on everything.
Yeah, oh yeah. You weren't allowed to make a cartridge for their box unless it was through them.
Right.
So
you had to get their cartridge from them.
Yeah.
Or else you wouldn't be able
here
to
we
do
go.
It.
The two leading chip manufacturers, Intel and AMD, are just moving from 32-bit to 64-bit computing and to dual-core processors, essentially two brains in a single chip. The cell is understood to have at least 4 cores and to be significantly faster. Well, that's according, I guess, Financial Times reported that.
All right, so the companies working on this are Sony, IBM, big names.
And Toshiba.
Toshiba.
Wow.
They've been working on it since 2001 in... It's the supercomputer on a chip. They've been working on it since 2001 in Austin, Texas.
Actually, it's two Sony Corps. Sony Corp, the main one, and Sony Computer Entertainment, Inc.
Really? Does Sony Computer Entertainment, Inc. have stock? Do they have their own separate stock? Because this is just, it shows stock.
Yeah, I guess it's just three different stock, but four different companies when you look at it.
What site are you looking at?
I'm at TechWeb right now. Techweb.com in their networking section. I just picked this up today.
Throw it in the chat room. I'll check it out later.
Sure. I'll just pop it in there.
Because this is a really cool thing, especially for those of you like me who are big in gaming. This could be huge and do that next step up in realistic gaming.
Well, I mean,
that we all want.
I mean, we're talking about something like having 4 processors in a PS2, I mean PS3. That's nuts.
Yeah.
We're talking like,
and then eventually,
it's like a Mac Mini now. Seriously, that's what they're selling.
You know, it's eventually going to become mainstream because if it's for the consoles, the PC gamers are going to want it for their games.
Right.
So therefore, what's going to bring it into the mainstream, into the home for PCs, will be the games.
Yeah, gamers.
Yep, gamers will bring it, make it mainstream. And
not only that, graphical editing.
That's true. Very, Mac, very true.
Photo editing. I don't know how much intensive you need, but definitely the video editing is going to need it. Music editing and so on and so forth. I mean, we might buy PS3 and use it for the show.
Or we just wait for the Xbox 2. So, because you could get Halo 3 on the release.
Yeah, the Xbox 2 will have two cells.
With also the blue laser.
But what if you don't care about Halo?
Then you can burn
Morbid
in hell.
Morbid is silent.
Then you can burn in hell.
Oh, Morbid was thinking of 100 different ways to fillet alive.
Okay.
Can we say Morbid is a Halo fan?
Fanatic.
Fanatic fan.
Obsessed. Okay.
He's calling himself obsessed.
Yes.
You know you're a true Halo fan when you know. Do you have like a Halo shirt or anything?
No, I don't.
There's a guy at work I know. He comes in with Halo gear.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. He's got like a Halo T-shirt.
Well, I'm trying to dress fashionably now because I'm just for some reason I want to dress fashionably, so I have to get away from the geekier attire.
You're trying to become a metrosexual? Is that what it is?
No, I'm not going to be a metrosexual because I still don't do my hair.
Not yet, yeah.
I used to.
I heard the word still don't in there. So.
I used to. I don't. I'm too lazy to now. Okay.
Okay.
So what else is going on here?
Well, I like the story that was out recently about the scientist Kim Jong-Hwang.
Oh, okay.
The director of ITRC Intelligent Robot Research Center. He's developed a series of artificial chromosomes that he says will allow robots to feel lusty and could eventually lead them to reproducing.
Now that is a scary concept.
Are you well? This is not a joke, right?
No, this is not a joke. This is on Guardian Unlimited. It was even slashed on.
Okay, so they're gonna reproduce by what? Driving out to Radio Shack, buying the parts, and soldering them together to make their own little babies there.
Well,
and they're gonna have to upgrade them every now and then.
No, they're gonna take their USB port connection, insert that in the USB slot, and connect to the internet to order the parts to ship there.
Kind of like
using your credit card.
So it's like a mail order bride, except it's a mail order robot
child.
Baby.
It's a mail order child creation kit.
Anyway, he says the software, which will be installed in a robot within the next 3 months, will give the machines the ability to feel, reason, and desire.
Wow, that's like the beginnings of basic AI, isn't it?
So,
better start building the Matrix now. They're going to be using it soon.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
For sex work, geez.
No, with the way people are now, mm-hmm. like with all the like depression issues out, mm-hmm. the way you relate technology now in a month is mm-hmm. obsolete. You're going to have mass technological suicides here because all these little robots are going to be online reading how they became obsolete a week after they were built. So they're going to feel no reason to exist and therefore kill themselves.
What if it's not like a physical reproduction thing and it's more of a mental state?
Schizophrenia?
You'd have a schizophrenic robot on your hand, and after like multiplying a bunch of times, you'll have like 169 like different
personalities. Oh god. Which one am I talking to now?
I am the Signation 6664.
Well, if it has the ability to feel and to speak, I think it might speak a little different than monotone.
He's a new designation.
It's a little lick.
he can only speak as much as well as the speaker can produce, so we'll see.
Yes.
I mean, that'll be interesting. I mean, you start upgrading themselves.
Oh, God.
Over time.
Yeah, you better have a good job for that.
Wandering around your room looking for little scrap
you better,
parts.
your notes and screws missing from the bottom of the chairs.
You wake up one day and your video card is missing.
Anyway. Kim, a leading authority on technology and the ethics of robotics, said, Christians may not like it, but we must consider this the origin of an artificial species. Until now, most researchers in this field have focused only on the functionality of the machines, but we think in terms of the essence of the creatures. That essence is a computer code, which determines a robot's propensity to feel happy, sad, angry, sleepy, hungry, or afraid. I'm
a
sorry.
Sleepy
this is
robot.
Okay, you can't see battery it from low. There, but you would have just seen me give up all hope and faith in humanity right now.
Look, I love this. A sleepy robot, battery low. I see it now. The little red light blinking.
Kim says the software is modeled on human DNA, though equivalent to a single strand of genetic code rather than the complex double helix of a real chromosome. Interesting. Kim said robots will have their own personalities and emotion, and as films like iRobot warn, that could be very dangerous for humanity. If we can provide a robot with good, soft chromosomes, they may not be such a threat. Now, you see, I think that there's an easier way. Build the robot to be weaker than you physically and not have the capability of wielding a weapon. Right.
Don't give them hands.
If you start that way, if they feel lusty, they'll need hands.
They'll need a BNC connector. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God. I think this Kim person has had one too many.
He's watched one too many movies.
I think he's had one too many drinks.
Well, here's the last paragraph in the Guardian Unlimited thing. Although he admits his ideas sound fantastic, Kim is no crank. In the mid-1990s, the professor launched the Robot Football World Cup, which has since become one of the most popular means for robotics researchers to measure their progress against competitors from around the world.
They play football?
Question, is that he is no crank? You sure he didn't say he's not on crank?
No, Kim is no crank, it says.
Okay. Just making sure.
But imagine in a few months, we may be hearing something new species developed
Robo sapiens.
Yeah, seriously. Silicon-based species. Imagine that.
I can see it now.
All faith in
robot
just fluttering away.
Man dies in robot humping accident.
No, actually, on speaking of robot humping accident,
what?
Well, I was I was reading
robot cyber humps, sex taken too far.
Robot, oh wow!
Robot humps man against the wall. Man
I mean,
dies.
The comments on Slash that there was somebody who said something about like, why is this Roomba humping my foot or something like that, and it's just. The comments were just coming so quickly, and I guess it was just too easy to come up with comments for something like this. And as you could tell just by listening to us now.
Wow, okay.
It's just weird, creepy, and scary, and at the same time, interesting.
But the thing is, they could be lusty. So if they do create a Matrix, I mean,
it will be a very interesting one.
Because what if Adrian Smith gets attracted to the Oracle at one point?
Penetrate her literally?
No, anyway. He copied himself.
Yeah, I know.
What if Adrian Smith started feeling for Neo there? Instead of wanting to kill him.
Penetrated him too at the end.
Oh yeah, no, he let him though. Neo wanted it.
Way off topic anyway.
Hey, it's on topic. I mean, like, they're gonna start launching. I mean, I can see now. Your robot starts playing Socialotron or whatever that is. That adult-rated MMO.
Okay, so... do we have anything that's kind of serious?
I don't think we can actually have a good follow-up to that.
Gonna go to something serious.
Okay.
Very good. Something that's positive. Software Freedom Legal Center.
Okay.
Yes.
What is this?
These lawyers, Lawrence Lessig and Eben Moglen, first of all, two thumbs up. Very good. They're created SFLC to assist open source developers with legal issues for free.
Nice.
That's awesome.
This is for free. Website is softwarefreedom.org.
So if you need a lawyer now...
check it out anyway. It's a great, great thing. Their mission, we provide legal representation and other law-related services to protect and advance free and open-source software.
Ooh, they have an instant messenger name on their website.
Software,
oh, that's nice.
I am them at Software Freedom. I'm going to now, actually.
Are you? Okay.
After I talk about this.
We're pimping you out on our show.
Some of their some of their services, they asset stewardship, licensing, license defense and litigation support, and legal consultant and lawyer training.
Now, how is this for free? Is
lawyer
it
lawyer training?
Did it have like a donate button or something?
I don't know. Their main page pretty much says free and open source software FOSS is maturing at a rapid rate, rapid pace. The FOSS production ecosystem, once dominated by a few small not-for-profit entities and individual contributors, now includes a global array of individuals, not-for-profit entities, and commercial developers and redistributors. In this mixed model organizational environment, all FOSS developers must have an environment where liability and other legal issues do not impede their important public service work. The Software Freedom Law Center provides legal representation and other law-related services to protect and advance FOSS. This site is licensed under a Creative Commons license.
Nice. Ah, that's cool.
That does sound familiar, doesn't it?
We went over that like a week ago.
Exactly. So I'm going to pass off the news to either Slick or Slade so I can see if they're online.
All right, so let's see what we got going on this week then. We already talked about a lot of cool things. Let's see. Now we're talking law-wise, aren't we? So let's just stick with that topic. I got something about here. Do you remember recently how the European Union had a big problem with Microsoft?
Yes.
Because they made it a media player bundled in Windows?
They made... Well, I think with selling their product Windows, it was okay. It was the OEM distribution of Windows where they had the issue with.
Some of the software that came with it. One of the main reasons being Microsoft Media Player made it hard for QuickTime and Real Networks to get any action.
Right.
Of course, now after iTunes being so big, I don't think that's a big deal anymore. But anyway, what happened is Microsoft had to release a new OEM version of Windows without Media Player.
Yes.
But Microsoft decided to do something a little retarded and give it a really dumb name.
Well, if they don't want people to buy that version, then they're going to give it a dumb
name. They gave it a really retarded name. It's called Microsoft Windows Reduced Media Edition. Who's going to buy called Reduced Media Edition?
This is just for Europe, isn't it?
Yes, just for Europe.
They rejected it.
They rejected the name. Of course they rejected the name. The European Union is forcing Microsoft to come up with something better or else they're not selling Windows in Europe.
Wow, I hope they don't come up with something better.
So they're forced to rename the Windows XP version. And, of course, I don't know how much time frame they have. The article didn't go into enough specifics. It would have been cool if it did. But they won't be able to have a box product or CDs shipped unless they have it.
Ooh.
Okay, I do know that some OEM vendors already have it. So it might, you might already see it on your box labeled, Reduced Media Edition.
Oh, jeez.
But that's about it. After that, it won't work. All right, what do we got?
No. This is. I was just wondering if I should contact them. Media inquiries, please contact.
Oh,
for the Software Freedom Law Center.
We're part of the media. We don't have media passes or anything.
No, but we're a small,
independent, media.
Blossoming part of the media. So
Wait till we find out a little more information on them.
Yeah, I just think it's
pretty
cool.
Because this seems like they're just starting up now, or
new law center. Founded on the 1st of February.
Okay, so we'll give it a little time
until... They haven't even had a week yet.
Yeah, we should... Really. Yeah. Well, that's gonna... Do you want to drop him an email sometime?
I think I shall, yeah.
I'll copy the link in the chat.
I think it's great what they're doing. Especially for, developers and such who have all these stupid patents on their asses.
Cool, so...
Because I'm certain with starting something like this that they're going to be a little busy their first week, so maybe give them a little bit of time.
Yeah, I just think it's cool to be, we appreciate what you're doing. Just kind of a little pat on the back. Okay.
I wonder if this counts for that anime thing you were speaking of earlier before the show.
Oh, I wonder where it's actually like the BitTorrent stuff where fans are subbing themselves. Starting to come up with the whole same issue with Hollywood movie music file sharing. But once again, it's not the Japanese companies that actually made the anime that are having the issue. It is the American companies that distribute them and sell the videos or DVDs or any of the other things related to the animes.
So it's not Japanese companies at all that care. It's the
there's a couple that are, but they've asked, and since it's a kind of it's a community which really is like wants it to grow. If a company asks, they stop doing it.
Right. What?
But smaller companies are like they realize that it's a great publicity. It's great publicity. Mm-hmm. For the shows, and it actually usually helps sales. I've been buying DVDs on the Japanese DVDs online because Japanese DVDs are about $1 an episode.
Right.
And you could get them. The thing is, sometimes they even do have the English dialogue in them. But if not, they'll have English subtitles. And really, in my opinion, that's better because the directors of the Japanese shows picked the voices that they felt were specific to the characters, unlike the five people who do American voices for...
And they sound like crap.
Yes. So, I mean, it's cool because $1 an episode, as opposed to when you have to wait for the anime to come to America, if it ever does.
And not only that, you're paying...
$26
bucks, if $30 after shipping, for something that comes with four
episodes. Yep.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky. Wow. Some of them have three episodes, or the movie, it's one movie's $25. I mean, which is even bad in movie standards for DVDs.
It's horrible, yeah. Especially for, like, Japanese stuff that they consider, like, semi-imported.
Yeah.
For some reason, they treat it like it's gold. It's like $30 sometimes.
So, I mean, it's kind of something that scared me, because this is one of my pastimes. I watch the anime, so I hope it stays. I mean...
It's not as scary as the Sonic 3 music, but go on.
Yeah, a lot of the companies, though, like I said, I hope these small companies kind of win over with this because they're like in the free press. But you always have the big guys. Like, where is that quote?
It's like not Funimation, is it?
No, it's not Funimation. Their stuff that they do has been crap lately. But they did bring DBZ and Big O. But no. There is no gray area, said David Williams, a producer at ADV Films.
Yay.
One of the largest distributors of Japanese animation, DVDs, and merchandise in the United States. No one else cares.
Just U.S. stuff, always.
Just U.S. Found a story on CNET, and another couple sites were carrying it. So, something worth... once again, worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's an open source community in the sense mm-hmm. that everyone's getting together. They're putting their free time into taking episodes that you would never see.
And it's not like they're doing it for...
translating them.
It's not like they're doing it for profit. I mean...
It's free.
It's like...
You're actually taking a hit in bandwidth and time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, they ask... I mean, like, some places... If they specifically have their own website focused on one series, we'll ask for donations. But the people who actually sub the stuff usually don't. They do it just for the love of it and the fact that to make it available to people. I mean, there's a 22-year-old student at University of Michigan who's one of the leaders of Anime Faith. He has it right on here. They interviewed this guy. He's like...
Oh, he's on there?
Yeah, Nolan. It says, Nolan, a 22-year-old student at University of Michigan, is one of the leaders of Anime Faith, one of hundreds of groups that take Japanese cartoons and translate and sub them into English, and then release them freely on the net. I love this. It's a great, great community. It's, like, good stuff to get into. I mean,
let me ask a question. Sure. The anime, is that in Japan actually, like, broadcast or cablecast?
There is...
In an area freely?
I'm not sure. It's actually a big thing. Anime is big in Japan. It's like their series.
That's why I'm asking if it's actually like a cablecast or broadcaster around that area. Because if it is, then I could see free availability of these things. It's a good idea. But there could be legal issues anyway. Subtitles are not as far as distributing it if you actually have to pay for a DVD, even in Japan, to get a hold of these. That would bring about quite a few legal issues.
I could do some more research into it, but, really, the I mean,
assuming it's freely available.
I mean, most of them really aren't comment like. Most of them really aren't, but like some of them, if they've had an issue, they send letters. Mm-hmm. They send letters to the fan site, and then they stop doing it.
So
I mean, it's like the community is like a respectful one. They're just like said, they're doing it to spread the word of it, and if they have an issue, they're
spread anime. It's an art form more than anything.
Yeah, I just like it deals with the whole technology file sharing thing that's been going on. I mean, which I'm sure everyone is as frustrated about as most of us.
It's like translating Japanese books to English so Americans can read and understand them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'd never get it otherwise. Because companies don't bring these episodes over.
No. I mean,
we would never get this content.
They're usually a lot higher, a lot better quality than
the crap that does get.
And the thing is, though, they're actually like topics meant for like they're mature topics. Mm-hmm. They actually have.
Have you ever seen some of the crap we get here, anime-wise, on cable?
I don't watch it.
Exactly. Why don't you watch it? Because it's not good.
No, it's not. Okay.
Like that anime Unleashed on Tech TV.
I don't have digital cable.
It doesn't matter. You don't want it. There's nothing special on it. And of course, Cartoon Network. Their anime hasn't.
Adult
really
Swim
been.
Is good. They're at a little lull of crap right now. Brothers or whatever.
The Venture Brothers?
The Johnny Quest ripoff is good.
The Johnny Quest ripoff is great.
It is really good. That is a hilarious show. The Venture Brothers,
yeah. I think it has like that gay Link in there.
No, that's that. No, not Xander. Strong Xander.
Strong Xander.
Strong, yeah. No, that's Drawn Together, the world's first animated reality show.
Oh, that's a good one, too, though.
That is hilarious. 7 episodes in this first season. After this, like, not even a day after its second episode aired, they were signed for 15 more episodes for a second season.
Nice.
Wow.
Okay.
You know that so much about this.
Cartoons are my life. I have more of an emotional attachment to cartoons
than to human beings.
Not necessarily human. Well, yes, but more specifically to my family.
You never know. Maybe there will be a cartoon robot who's able to feel that you may fall in love with.
Maybe.
Be careful when he tries to probe you in the middle of the night.
It's like, maybe it'll be a girl robot.
Is this compatible? Ow.
Okay. No. Well, let's go from cartoons back to gaming. I mean, a quick little thing. Game Live reports about a cool new virtual reality technology that blends real-time video with 3D animation. Total immersion. It's mm-hmm. called Defusion.
That's like, something you have to experience more than you can actually see, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm guessing. Total Immersion's Defusion software solution allows for real-time video capture and perfect merges between video streams and 3D objects. All you need is a camera, a few sensors, and a HUD. This turns your world into an immersed gaming experience where you are in the game or where the game is all around you. For more details and link to must-see video on Gear Live.
So I'm going to check that out later and see what the video looks like, see how that feels.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. So just kind of trying to bring the whole virtual reality thing. That was mid-90s virtual reality boom, and then it kind of dropped off. Let's see if this brings it back in.
We don't have the horsepower for it at this point.
No,
we?
So let's see. Let's see.
Having enough problems with frame rates in Doom 3.
Crap on a stick.
Crap on a stick?
And I did
tabs
links.
Went boom, didn't
I? I put the links twice.
Oh, crap. Okay.
No, I'll just delete.
I have an article here that I was reading in one of, you know, the magazines I usually just pick up.
Okay.
And
that you somehow acquire?
Yeah, somehow
to make
acquire.
It shady sounding?
Yes, this one was sent to Fishworks Limited. Anyway, it's a cabling and installation and maintenance magazine. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much just about, you know, installing and maintaining cables for networks and so on and so forth. And, you know, you'd figured, you know, boring job. But there's actually some really cool stuff going on in that kind of field. Believe it or not. What would be the biggest stress you think you'd put the Cat 5 cable under?
Biggest stress?
I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. As far as bandwidth or as far as actually
physically?
Like, physical?
Physical.
As,
like, what's the worst you think it would have to
deal with?
Deal with, right.
A knife?
A knife? Okay.
No, I was going to say, like...
That's probably really bad.
I was going to say poorly run, like, chairs or something. Like, if it's furniture.
When you run chairs and stuff like that?
If the cat five's poorly run, yeah. Probably around chairs or something that are moving, if dragging.
That's about it.
Now, I mean, usually when you have, like, a big company, they run the cat five over the ceiling, to the side, so on and so forth. But we have... There's actually a research center in Tennessee. It's being built actually as we speak. It's going to be done sometime down at the end of 2006. It's Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, obviously. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to build a neutron ray, you know, to break atoms and so on and so forth.
Okay.
And they're controlling it over, like, this computerized network. So they need to have a wiring solution. And it has to be able to withstand 2 million megawatts of interference in the next room.
Wow.
Now, that's some serious stress testing.
Oh, so you're not talking about physical.
Technically, it is physical. It's radiation.
Oh,
it's
electrical interference.
Well, I would imagine it's more the electromagnetic interference than anything else. Like, not really.
I mean, and it's controlling the same ray that is causing the interference. It's an interesting setup.
Okay.
So they're trying to come up with different solutions on how to, like, set up a huge network that you can still control the damn thing with without it interfering with the same thing, with the equipment that's controlling it. It's a really... it sounds almost dangerous what they're trying to
do. Now, what does the equipment do that it's controlling do again?
They're controlling it from different parts of the...
Yes, but what does the equipment that creates all this radiation do?
It's a neutron ray. It's supposed to, I believe, split atoms into different components.
Ooh, okay.
I've used this before in smaller, like, megawatt quantities to make different metals and plastics and stuff.
Okay, then it would be hard just to reverse the phase and pipe that through the Cat 5, so...
Yeah.
It's
kind of cool. I mean, there's a lot of weird things going on we've never really, you know, think about that our equipment can handle.
Yeah.
It's kind of something to take it for granted.
Yeah, exactly. But we take our Cat 5, we fling it around the side, and we hang it from the roof.
Or the dog goes around it, yeah.
And chews it up. Yeah, that happens. Yeah, it's kind of cool, though. I mean, I like to know that there are opportunities out there in the IT field where weird, crazy things are happening. And you're experimenting with just Cat 5 cable, having a shit ton of fun trying to get it to work without it melting on you.
Wow.
So anyway,
sounds like fun.
Sounds like fun on some level. So I'm just bringing that up because it was weird, and I'm pretty sure no one is ever going to hear about it again. So I'll keep my eye on that story if I ever see anything about it in the future to see if it actually works when they launch the 2-megawatt, you know, monstrosity. Or if they have to do something else.
Slick, what's the address for your mail server?
Mail server?
Yeah. I'm trying to get the story.
Oh, yeah, I'll send you a link.
Okay, because remember the whole... You talked about the military, I think, last week with their robots.
Oh, yeah, something. The robot machine.
I saw that in the local newspaper.
Did you?
Earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. And so I just went to their website, and I'm trying to get it, but you need to register for...
I did see a picture of it eventually.
Yeah.
It did look a lot like Johnny Five.
A little shorter, though.
A little shorter.
It's about It's about 2.5 feet. It's right. more like miniaturized.
Well, I mean, if you look
tank.
At the movie, there were little Johnny Fives in the movie. They were a little...
Yeah, they did have the little versions of them.
They were like somewhere. A foot tall. So technically it's like a bigger version of the mini. And it has a machine gun strapped to the top. So it's an interesting...
Just like number 5 originally did.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, honestly, it doesn't look very sturdy.
I mean, that's cool, that's it. I should actually put this under favorite
places.
It's
cool that it was in your local paper, though.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get to it. I'll come back to you guys.
I mean,
it would
be really funny if, like, the insurgents supposedly, like, grab a couple and start using them as remote control pod racing and stuff.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's possible.
Okay, I'll get back to you guys in this.
They're controlled remotely. I mean, it would be funny if they just, you know,
hijack the remote control. Knock it over.
Can't run away.
Kick it.
And then just disable it and then, you know, rewire
sneak
it.
Sneak up
know.
On it. You think?
Sneak up on it with a bat.
And tip
you.
It on its side.
Just tip it over. So what's the worst I can do? Shoot forward? I mean, anyway.
Let's see if I could get into this. Work. Stop giving me prompts for passwords.
I mean, I...
Oh, it's one of those
it's like
website
it's like,
login
okay.
things.
Army's over. Newest soldier has nerves of steel. Yeah, that's the picture of it.
Ooh. All right, he's got a better picture, actually, than what I saw.
It's Little Lethal and the Lifesaver for American Soldiers.
Link it to me.
You need the that's just get it.
Nah, I'm lazy.
I don't know. I somehow
just keep that page open.
Officials at Picatinny Arsenal in Rockaway Township, the Army's Grand Central Station for Munitions, on Thursday demonstrated the new sword system for remotely firing ordinary combat weapons.
Ordinary?
Yes. So I guess you could kind of put any ordinary weapon on here.
Because it has a little hand with a trigger.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you could easily make a trigger. the system is mounted atop a Talon robotic tank. In quotes, that weighs but 170 pounds
what?
And looks like a Tonka toy minus the shiny plastic. That's what it probably is. It is said the associate director for technology at Picatinny after the demonstration, the national first step to introduce a remotely fired weapon system, swords, special weapons, observation, reconnaissance, detection system.
I'm sorry.
Special weapons observation reconnaissance detection system represents a marriage of America's rich technological resources and the needs of the country's soldiers in the field. Well, so that's kind of cool. It's just,
I don't know. I see more people getting shot trying to tip the thing back up than.
But I don't know. It looks pretty heavy. It's 170 pounds, but
170 pounds probably the base alone.
Yeah. So I mean, it looks like it has a really low center of gravity because like the actual weapon system on top is. Looks like Johnny Five's head. No, it does. The treads look similar, except unlike Johnny Five, where the back of the treads is half the size of the front of it, where it goes up, it's just like a normal tank tread.
Put the link in our chat room.
I'll give you my username. No, one.
Okay. Did the organization who built this, were they called Nova by any chance?
Nova. Yeah, put the link in our chat room so we can log it, so we can put it up on the site later on, so people can take a look at the local paper and see.
Then I'll give you my username and password to use, because I don't care.
Yeah, for me, but for them, they won't get it.
If they want to, they can.
If they want to, they can use your username and password.
I get the newspaper at home. I mean, I don't.
You don't care. Oh, it's the fact that they have your username and password that worries me.
That's true. If I used a username which I didn't usually use,
we should make a default one like BaseNet and then radio.
Yeah, whenever we look up stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, give one out to our fans, BaseNet and radio or something.
Yeah, that'd
like
be cool.
But then, of course, they'd probably some idiot out there will change the password and fuck us over.
Yeah. Well, that's it's just kind of cool. That's another thing that that was brought up in last week's episode. Mm-hmm. Made it even more like even newspapers is kind of farther than most of the stuff we talk about goes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
Oh, wow, look at that thing. It is like Johnny Five without the body part, just the treads and the head.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, it's like a remote control tank then.
I have another. There's another article on it. It was like from the day before. I don't know if there's a. Oh, is it the same stupid picture? Oh, it's the same article. Oh, whatever.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, do we have any more articles?
Oh, I have more stuff.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, do we want to continue on any specific topic, or I can do random stuff?
Random stuff.
Okay. This is a cool one. Something we probably all need right about now. U.S. brewer adds caffeine to beer.
Ooh.
it's a U.K. thing. Anheuser-Busch 4.5% BE. Brew boasts I have to read the whole thing because it all works together very well for to laugh at. A U.S. brewer is set to exploit Britain's mooted 24/7 licensing laws by launching a caffeine laced beer. Anheuser-Busch's 4.5% BE brew boasts a hit of caffeine equivalent to half a cup of coffee plus ginseng and Brazilian fatigue boosting. Guarana. It is seen as a rival for non-alcoholic Looney Juice Red Bull, commonly mixed with vodka by British youths when they want to get plastered and throw a few shapes on the dance floor simultaneously.
Okay.
The person who wrote that was laced on something.
They're British.
Laced on something.
Laced on something.
They're British.
like I said, laced them.
Okay, so
what do you mean by laced on something?
It will encourage drinkers to believe the effects of alcohol could be lessened by caffeine, that's whatever. It is not. Oh, I didn't know this earlier. It is not yet known if BE will have any positive health benefits, such as improved sexual performance or cancer-busting properties.
Well, maybe with the ginseng.
And the related stories are beer fights cancer, official, 3/4 of Brit workers drunk after lunch, and gasping for a pint, text good pub. So, we know the British have an issue. If you want to email the author of this article and kind of make fun of him because he's British. No, make fun of him. Jeez, we'll talk to him. Sorry, I just had to.
Okay.
There was a whole...
But it's an Anheuser-Busch thing. It goes... Like Budweiser with caffeine.
Oh, well.
It's kind of nasty.
We are kind of running low on time.
We are?
Actually. Are we?
Yes,
oh,
it's...
crap.
Oh. Yeah, we got about 4.5 minutes left, actually.
Wow. Right, okay.
So I guess we should just cut the news short.
And go, I guess I'll go section. Directly cool. on to the next section then. It's time for the distro of the week. The distro of the week is nothing more than a report on a distro that was used by one or more of us throughout the week. Remember, we are not limited to Linux distributions, as we found out last week. By distro, I mean anything from a small homemade OS and a few utilities on a floppy, to some huge 3DVD set of Linux, KDE, and every possible application that can be built to run on it. Also know that by being the distro of the week doesn't mean it's a good distro, it all depends on how the week went using it. If you have a distro you would like a report done on, just drop a line to basenet@slickzero.net. For this week we have FreeDOS. FreeDOS is a great replacement for MS-DOS, IBM-DOS, Dr. DOS, and the like. I've been checking it out every now and then for a few years now.
Yeah,
it's,
I haven't heard that name in a while.
What was that? FreeDOS?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was just using it for obsolete programs and games and the stuff I had from when I was using MS-DOS as my main OS back in the day. And, well, FreeDOS is pretty damn cool. I mean, it could have a lot of good use, too, especially with all those old systems running proprietary DOS-based software, like old POS systems and whatnot. Development on it seems slow from the time I've been following, but it seems to be nearing a 1.0 release. I think it's on a 0.9 beta 9 or something. I don't know. Lord. Yeah, it's seems to be nearing 1.0. I say seems to be because development is very slow.
Gotcha.
So, well, check it out if you want to experience your old software the way you did 10 to 20 years ago. Maybe faster if you don't have the old hardware lying around to run it on, but... You could run it on new hardware just as well.
Or you could just run it on Morbid's laptop.
Right.
Yeah, you get about the same results.
Well, basically, it's DOS. Well, just a quick warning for those of you thinking of actually checking this out. If you are really used to a Unix-based system, you will probably be screaming at your screen at one point or another when trying to switch virtual consoles or just simply scroll up. In short, it's DOS.
Cool.
So, yeah, I guess that about will wrap it up, won't it?
Yeah,
there's 2 minutes left. Anybody have shout-outs?
I just wanted to throw some quick news stories we didn't get to, just the headlines, which I think would be interesting. People
okay.
could check up on. State wants a say on cyberspace calls. Hold the phone, voice over IP isn't safe. FBI unable to launch new computer program.
Got two on that, too. FBI also... confiscating 60 terabytes of info on Iraqi plan leaks, as well as canceling their public email service due to security flaws.
The last one I have is search startup targets digital downloads. These are all stories which are really cool to look up. Check them out yourselves.
And all right. That's about it.
Well, I guess that concludes this week's BaseNet Radio. We hope you have enjoyed this show. If you have any questions, comments, or flames, send us an email. BaseNet@slickzero.net, of course, spelled SLICK0. Well, have a good week.